everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 247. That is 247 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about.
I feel like I should do more in the intro.
You usually say something. Well, that's why I looked at you.
You know, it's like I go 2, 4.
So in sign language,
seven. I don't know what 7 is in sign language.
Would be this 5. It's 6, 7, 8, 9. So 7.
I should do. We'll work out in the next show that I should do something in the intro. Next show, we'll do it. Got it.
247 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. Our last show was just before the U.S. 4th of July holiday.
And the Canadian.
And the Canadian July 1st, Canada Day.
You got it. Canada Day.
Whatever.
You got it. And we also realized that all of our birthdays, tons of different birthdays, all happened in the first couple of weeks of
in between,
July too.
In between those shows, yeah.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. What'd you get me?
I got you a show.
That works.
See you after. I'll sign a 9 guy for you.
Oh, hey, awesome. And funny enough, we had JVS underscore CA, Canadian, was mentioning he's looking for his 9 guy.
So apparently, in episode 231, we promised him a 9 guy.
Did we ever get his mailing address?
But Golnaz did not send it out.
Yeah, so Golnaz.
We will make sure that she sends that out to you.
Or you know what? Get Seth to do it.
Sure.
Seth can do that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll make sure you get one. That's unfortunate. We'll correct that. So unfortunately,
space is hard. Extremely hard.
I've said this to other people. Like, we always talk about, you know, create without fear of failing, because when you fail in software, like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sending stuff to space is ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
And it takes a large amount of courage to be able to do that stuff. And unfortunately, this one mission did not go.
Yeah, and you know, again, fortunately, I think Founders Fads mentioned as well later on down the thing. You know, fortunately, there's no human that was on that.
Correct. There was just monetary loss
up there,
and a lot of learnings.
Yep.
That will hopefully improve.
And did you see Satya tweeted?
Did he
about that? He
says,
I know. Sorry to hear it didn't happen. We're there for you.
Absolutely. Like, we've had this great partnership with the JPL and NASA, and we received an email from them actually on that day, and there was messages sent both ways. It's super unfortunate. But we will continue to work with them. We will continue to proceed into the final frontier and into space. So we'll be back at it. While I talk about Lenovo, my six-month-old Y70 touchpad bit the dust. That sounds like a warranty thing, probably.
I remember asking people at that particular show what was their favorite feature they loved about the old retro
laptops. Lenovo's, yeah. I was actually just looking at the Yogas again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like half in the market for
They got some really nice-looking all-in-ones.
I can't pick one.
I know, but they got some nice-looking all-in-ones, too.
Eh? Yeah.
Very nice stuff.
So, TGRT has not liked any of the out-of-box Windows wallpapers.
Mm. That's fine.
There's no way that we're going to come up with a wallpaper that a billion people like, right? Is it a billion Windows devices, something like that? So we're not offended. Currently, I use a Milky Way theme on my work laptop and Surface Pro 2. Is that like a whole galaxy back in the background? Because I want to see that.
Oh yeah, that one there looks cool. I was thinking of maybe even possibly the latest news from the space desk, which we're not actually covering this show. The new high res pictures of Pluto.
Yes.
And now they have the whole family of objects in the solar system.
Well put.
Because Pluto isn't a planet.
Well put. So this may happen. It may not happen. I'm just celebrating my 9th anniversary at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I want to bring in 9 small cakes, each with one of the planet photos on it.
Nice. I like that.
I have this weekend to figure out if I can get that done.
Yep.
So
work on that. And
I will.
Me, am I allowed in your area to be able to have some of the cake or not?
I'll bring some out.
Okay.
You're not. You're not allowed. I'll bring some to you.
Nice. And this is Fabulous Fads, again, coming back, simply just saying, hey, came back from vacation, realized there was a couple of missing episodes of Ping, but they actually weren't missing. They simply were.
We just messaged. Yeah, we actually replied to him there. But he also said I was downloading the latest build of Windows. I am now on 10.24.0. 10.24.0.
That's. I get that.
Yes, you didn't get that. Yeah. So Windows always does. We're not covering this to show either, but Windows always has an interesting version number in that minor build for all of the final builds. So I don't remember it. XP was 2600.
Yeah.
And nod to the Hacker Magazine. There were some other ones that were
96.
98 was 98. 95 was 9500. Stuff like that. Anyway, the final build number it looks like for Windows 10 is 10,240. Mm-hmm. So 10.24 being
10.24.
It's Power of Two.
Yeah, like, it works.
Like 10 meg. It's
it's a power of two.
It's the power of two.
Let's get on to the show.
Let's actually get on the show. On July 29th, even though we aren't doing a segment on the RTM release of when Windows 10 is available, however that is the date, in case you haven't slept under a rock or
July
something.
July 29th.
You got it. July 29th is also the debut of a new beta, or beta if you're from Europe, around Minecraft Windows 10 edition that you were able to sign up for and take part in. And
okay.
So that's going to be also available as well. They had a nice little blog post on the Windows blog talking about it, and basically their ability to go through and to create and edit and explore online, 7 different friends playing from the Windows 10 edition if you want to, local multiplayer, Pocket Edition players, as well as multiplayer. Now, that cross-platform piece wasn't there before.
Right.
Right?
And also the stuff that's built into Windows 10, there's the whole Xbox app that lets you do right. game DVR, so you can game DVR your Windows 10 version?
Switching between multiple inputs, between controllers, touch, and keyboard controllers. That seems really neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, definitely very, very cool.
I don't know. I haven't done much of the console version of Minecraft, so I don't know how
my kids love the Xbox One version of the console.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they also love the fact you can do the mods on the PC version.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a toss up in my house which one they go for. Both. And obviously, it brings all the fun with chickens, zombies, pigs, boats, armed skeletons, potatoes, zombies, baby squids, enchanted tables, villagers, naked sheep, iron golems, potions, ghasts, pickaxes, carrots, and all the weird, wonderful goodness you're expected from finding inside of Minecraft. Sign up. There's a link, how to be able to go off and get it and try it out. I can't wait.
Cool.
This is my last box that's still 8.1. Mm. Just waiting a little bit longer. All my other boxes are all 1024.
Nice. So in the beginning of July, a US company called Megabot, who makes giant robots.
Nice.
Challenged Japan to a
giant
challenge? Robot duel.
Wow, this is like beyond simply the small little battle bots that we're talking about for TV shows.
Oh, no, these are enormous. These are 6-ton, 15-foot tall mega robots.
Seriously, this is real.
And Japan replied and said, "Let's do this." They threw in
it's
a little
going now.
They threw in a little it's a Japanese company called Karatas. They went on to throw a little zinger back at and said, "Oh, you made something really big and threw a gun on it. How American." Because the American bot, the Megabot, has a paintball gun.
It's not like it's a 50 caliber rotating Gatling gun.
It shoots 3-pound paint cannonballs.
Oh my goodness.
I never knew a paint cannonball was a thing. That's amazing. So this is going to be a hand-to-hand battle. I think it's supposed to take place in about a year. This is amazing. This is amazing.
This is awesome.
Like, the article calls it Transformers. That's not true. They don't transform.
Yeah, they're just going to sit there.
It's just giant robots fighting each other. So, I'll fight. Absolutely.
He wants to fight in the combat style of Melee style.
Yes.
Hand to hand with no guns.
And I'm sure there will be.
I want to punch them to scrap and knock them out to do it.
That's insane. Now the boats, both bots require a human pilot.
Inside of it?
I don't know if they're inside. That's straight up Robotech.
Yeah.
Is that the movie?
Robotech, that's also, the good old Avatars.
Sure. And Gundam and all that stuff. I'm not saying this is new, but like it's actually gonna happen. So
that's
I'm so
insane.
Excited about this. Giant robots fighting. By the way, what's that one you're just talking about?
Avatar?
No, the BattleBots. BattleBots is back on the air.
Oh, is it on?
Yes. Actually, if you go to abc.com, you
did
can
I miss
watch.
It?
No. It's like on episode 4 or 5, middle of the season. They did like a qualifier and then like a 16 robot tournament. They're like 1 or 2 rounds in. If you go to abc.com, I believe you can actually go if you have a cable subscription and watch them on demand from there.
Okay, I'm on it.
So that's what I did, caught up with it. But these are gonna be awesome big bots. So that's all I gotta say. There's not a lot of details on when or where.
It's gonna be televised. It has to be televised.
Or Channel 9 will stream it. I'm volunteering right now.
I will be an on-location reporter.
Absolutely.
If we can do it.
Yeah. So we will definitely get you the details when they can become available about giant robot fight going to happen.
Wow. Where were you in 1977?
Not here.
How about mid-80s? Jersey? Sort of here. Okay, you were almost, you were around in the early 80s?
Mid-80s.
Well, this is for the nostalgia file, and also mobile file, too, because a couple of Italian entrepreneurs have basically created a brand new smartphone that is called the PET. The PET was the first computer from Commodore Business Machines that came out in 1977. I've worked with the PET before. And also the Commodore 64, which came out soon thereafter, with a whopping 64K of RAM for being able to do things. Yes. Anyway, it's a smartphone that is made. It happens to be based on the Android operating system, and it's customized. And it is set up to have built-in two emulators, apps/emulators, one that emulates the old 64 and one that emulates the Amiga.
Another machine I have not had the privilege of working with.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I seriously so have not worked with it.
The fit and finish actually looks really nice. You know, polycarbonate case, it's got the nice little metal surround.
It's all the modern, nice hardware.
Right, and you know, obviously all the stuff that's inside of it, it's got, we're talking like state-of-the-art, regular, good stuff. It's 1.7 MediaTek 64-bit octa-core processor. That's like, I didn't know the number of factor of times more powerful that is of the original 64, but it's huge.
It's running all this in software to begin with.
It's a 13 megapixel camera in the front and in the back. It's got another one in the front. It's got a wide angle lens. It's able to do video at 1080p, so it far surpasses what those machines could do. But it's aiming squarely at a niche market of geeks like me who grew up with this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And so I mean, like Commodore, the company, has been gone for about 20 years.
It's been gone for a number of years, and then the trademarks of the names and the IP around
and that's
that
how this
have
all
been
became
circling
a
around.
Thing.
Yeah, they basically bought out the last person or group that had the Commodore Business Machines IP, and therefore also
and
the name.
And good for them to putting it to use and bringing a product back with
them.
Like, a lot of people may have just got it, swallowed up, and, like, forgotten about it.
I'm telling you.
It's really cool.
There's actually a business in this, of actually finding old trademark names and then bringing them back to life to put new stuff into them. It's actually a really good idea. Good entrepreneurial stuff.
All right.
This is going to be available in Italy, France, Germany, and Poland, with plans for more countries in Europe and potentially America in the near future.
We should also cover this on location.
I think we should. It's going to be a very much a niche device. I agree with that. However, still very, very cool. And you know what? I think it's going to work. We've debuted a bunch of stuff from the garage environment, both software and also hardware stuff, over the last number of episodes that we've been talking about. And this is a project that kind of came up a while ago that has just recently been refreshed of interest. It actually came up at the Build conference this year.
For sure, Alpha Build, yeah.
Yeah. But basically, it is the 3-in-1 dock for the Surface Pro 3. However, it's more of a maker project that they've now gone and open source that you can now go and download the STL files to be able to go off and to make your 3D printed components, as well as another file setup that's used to laser cut the other components. And then you need an original dock for the Surface Pro 3 to take the actual guts and the hardware to make it intelligent.
Got it, right.
And that now gets all glommed together, put into a VESA mount, and now turns into a dock that goes across the monitors to make Surface more useful,
so you basically,
as opposed to down like this.
Yeah, so instead of like putting it down on its kickstand next to yourself, that's actually what I do, is I put my laptop like this, kind of like under my monitors, and I have like an L almost. But what this does is it lets you put it up on your monitor arms, just like your other ones, in portrait mode, right next to them. And if you've seen the video, the thing that gives you is you get to just drop in your Surface, take it on the run, just as you normally do, drop it in there, and now you have a touch screen that you can interact with, and since you just extend your monitors across, those interactions span across all of your monitors.
And it was hilarious, because you actually would see emails back and forth internally on, on dog food and aliases, asking, has anyone seen any VESA mounts inside the PC Recycle recently? We're looking to do some more prototyping to make sure this works. So I was very excited to see that they actually now have the 3D printed parts that are now available in printing, as well as laser cut parts. But don't forget, you do have to do the do-it-yourself stuff of disassembling and claiming the guts of the components. Mainly it's the big thing is
the connector, right?
The connector for the power and also video.
Like you don't, right.
Because otherwise you're just using the CPU on this guy with the USB display, which is not as powerful.
But you need an offboard.
Right, so basically probably, this guy does
a USB like video adapter as well, but if you have that mount, it's meant specifically for it.
But it's designed to work with that particular mount.
Specifically.
It's not designed to work with the USB.
Oh, got it, right.
So basically, they have a complete documentation. It's on GitHub. You can go and download the STL files right now and go off and give it a try. If I actually had access to a 3D printer, Actually, I do have access.
Is there one in the garage?
There's one in the garage I can go up and print in. It's the laser cutter I don't have access to.
Yeah, I do not have one of those either.
And I don't think I could whittle those with my pocket knife.
It'd take a little while.
Yeah, there's a level of tolerance that's there. But there's, you know what? The guys, there's four guys that are part of the team that they have in the pictures in this blog series. The link's inside the comments there. Kudos to them, and awesome that they went and go and put that up on GitHub and open source that for anyone to go off and use. Very cool.
More interesting things coming out of Microsoft Research. This time we are talking about Semantic Paint, which uses some of the world understanding technology that we've been building up for over the years with the Kinect and now HoloLens. And what it does is it's an interactive app that allows you to, while you're looking at an environment, touch certain things, and then using voice commands, you can say, this is the floor, this is a table, this is a chair. And then it'll basically like flood fill that surface and then have knowledge that that entire object is what you just said it was.
And so this is a easier thing now that they have this as concept?
What is an easier thing?
Like the what they're proving is that it's an easier interface to be able to define these types of objects?
Well, I don't know if this is like an individual task that people would want to do, but this kind of understanding of the world is very difficult. Mm-hmm. There's a joke about explaining the difficulty of computer science problems. It says like, oh, I wanna come up and I wanna search all the pictures taken in the world and find the ones that were taken in a national park. Like, okay, there's exabyte data on all images, and we have GPS locations, we can figure that out, it's easy. Yeah. Like, all right, and we want to whittle those down to just the ones that have birds in them. Like, great, I need a team of 20 scientists in 5 years. So, like, semantically understanding things is very difficult.
Got it.
So this is, like, an arbitrary room with just random objects in it that could be moving from day to day, and the ability to mark things as certain items and understand it, actually what they are gives us all the information that we know about those objects we can then tie into the physical world. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously it's coming out of MSR. It's a very early thing. It's probably a foundation of something that will be used in other things. But I mean, you can do analysis on the cloud instead of like the days it would normally require to do this kind of like real time analysis. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty neat. And it also brings something very difficult like annotating a 3D world into something that anyone can really do. Anyone can touch something and say the name of it. Mm-hmm. It's a very primitive interaction,
yeah,
right? It's exactly how you do it to a child.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the state where machine learning is right now. They're about a child. Well, maybe not a child. Yeah, hopefully they're more like an animal. They're a child.
That's good. That's
they're going to grow up really fast.
Yeah.
Hopefully a couple of years before that happens. but yeah, check out the video. It explains it with more detail
that
I'm doing right now.
And about Microsoft Research, they partnered up with University of Oxford, Stanford University, and Nankai University as well.
Excellent, yes. So a lot of very smart people involved in this. Smarter than I, for sure.
Big brains.
That's it for 247. Thanks so much for watching. That is 247 episodes in the can.
Nice.
As always, we'd love to interact with you, our pingers. If you can go ahead and comment in one of several ways, we'll give you a couple ways to do it. We can continue this conversation on Twitter using...
I don't have my sign.
I've got the hashtag ping show.
That works.
That's something you can go to the garage and get fixed.
Maybe 3D printed a new song.
Or just a hashtag.
Yeah.
Not the sign.
You can hang on to it or something.
Yeah,
that could work. Reach us on Facebook as well at facebook.com/theping show, I guess.
Individually on Twitter?
Yeah, you got it. I'm at @signrickstercdn.
@MarkDFalco.
Nice, that works.
That's my name.
And Mark D. Falco.
Got it. Clearly, that's why people can't find me. I don't have enough people following me.
They're misspelling the D.
Ooh.
And then finally, if you want one of these guys over here, we're getting yours, okay?
You
didn't forget about it. It's on the way. You send us an email, postcard, or fax, apparently. Remember the guy that said we could send him a fax? He's looking for one? He never contacted us, though. Anyway, snail mail is... The Ping Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052. Look at that.
That's pretty good.
Professional.
Oh, wow.
You got it. What's the question of the week, man?
Yes, give you something to reply to the comment section below. I have a clear favorite, and it's the giant robot fight.
Giant freaking robots.
There's an easy question.
What?
Who's going to win?
Okay, well, how about we spice that up and see who's going to win and what is the melee Is it melee or melee?
Melee. Are they going to use weapons? Like, are they going to have, like, a mace and a sword and a shield? Or just fisticuffs?
I don't know. It's a 6-ton robot coming
out. I know. So cool. So we had robots that we fought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Boxing Bots.
Yeah, Boxing Bots. Yeah.
They were more like 500 pounds.
Did you almost get punched by one?
I did get punched by one. I was just at an intern event, actually, and they had one of the bots, like, sitting there.
It was still alive?
It is, I mean, it looks, it's seen better days.
Who's taking care of
it? It wasn't working. It was just there. Or, I mean, maybe it wasn't working, it just wasn't turned on. And someone was like, oh, look at that. I was like, I had, like, post-traumatic, you know, coming in, like, I was not expecting to see my attacker sitting there.
My nemesis, the robots.
So we had robots, but they weren't that big. We should make bigger robots.
Nice.
Or smaller robots.
We should get Clint robots. Clint was one of those guys behind that, right?
Yeah, Clint was the one who did almost all the hardware for
we
that.
We need to get that working again. I drove one of them.
I did
drive one. That was fun. Thanks a lot robots. For watching.
Let us know about robots.
You got it. Who's going to win, and what is the attack method that they're going to be using?
See you next time.
Ciao.